Mind you, I don't make money on meme coins. I only lose it. I've traded three of them. I've only lost. Except for whiff. Awesome. I have 25 whiff. That's the only thing green right now. And I might be going red soon. That's all I got. Everything else, Myro lost money. I bought a meme coin on Sol called Base Chain. I only bought $50 of it. It went from 50 to 115 because it showed on my Solana wallet. It went negative $115. And I still had $50 worth of it. I'm like, I was up like that. I didn't see it.
Okay, so here's one thing. Do not sell your meme coins for a loss. This is not financial advice.
And avoid meme coins.
Avoid meme coins at all
costs. Unless you're good at it. Some people are good at it.
Yeah, some people say, oh, this is the time to make money. It's called gambling.
It's culture.
Welcome back, everybody.
To another week
of your favorite crypto podcast.
Sometimes Crypto.
The Unscripted
Crypto Podcast.
Ew.
Hey, yo. That was a very soft ayo.
Yeah, that was a very soft ayo. Ayo. Gotta wild it up. It's just the markets are down, William. And
we were right, but then we were wrong again.
It took some heat.
Decided to not hold the retest.
Yeah. You just decided to take a little plunge down into the ice bath, cold waters. What's it sitting at right now with you?
As of right now on Tuesday, we are currently sitting at, and I moved this number, 65,779,778. It moved.
And did it reach the 20% drawback?
No.
Then you're still right, really, William.
I'm not talking about the 20%. I'm just saying it didn't hold that level very long.
Yeah.
No, right now it's down from all-time high, 10%.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying it's we're wrong in the sense of like a 20%. I'm just saying we're back down.
Yeah, we're back down.
I will say I made a chart a couple, like 2 weeks back now, of possible ranging that can happen. We're in my range of like the box range I made.
Oh, nice. William's getting good at making ranges. He's like, this is possible.
I was, yeah. when I wrote it, I'm like, possible range.
Right here. Well, I do want to address something that we talked about last episode before we get going, just in case you heard that.
Darnish.
And William, I'll get to you.
I close all my tabs.
I'll give you time to open the backup. So, last week, I talked about this gold mining company, Neelam Resources, that had announced Tuesday last week, that they published a letter of intent saying that they're going to be purchasing, in essence, a bunch of Bitcoin, 24,000 Bitcoin, from this special project that just, it's a special entity created just to hold Bitcoin. And their whole plan, whatever. It ended up being a pump and dump scheme by someone within the organization who it's unclear. So what had happened was the CEO announced, he's like, someone within the organization managed to publish the letter of intent. And they did that with the idea of taking profits from the expected pump in the rise of their stock price. That person sold off their stock, made some money.
Some.
Yeah. made good money. And then, well, the news came out that that letter of intent was indeed not legitimate and that the company was not planning on purchasing that special entity group. So then, subsequently, the price of the stock crashed. It went down. The CEO made that claim and then continued on with resigning his position as CEO. I mentioned that to William, and he's like, oh, he probably had something to do with it. I go, well, it's a possibility, but I think that would be too self-implicating, that if he had play in it and then decided to resign, it's like, there should be further investigation on this. But I think what most likely happened was that someone within the organization posted the letter of intent under his like rule, I guess, under his and any competent CEO, well, I obviously am not capable or fit for leading this organization, as there's people doing things without approval. So he most likely just resigned out of like, he's not fit to run that company. So yeah, I just wanted to make that quick PSA because that news developed after we posted the episode.
Right after, the very next day.
Yeah.
Like it happened on Wednesday.
So
everyone knows this change, except we're addressing it now.
Yeah, exactly. So
essentially.
I just wanted to let you guys know that happened. It was a sad for...
I just mean... I did say it, though. Like, how much are they buying that for? Because whatever they said they were going to buy was worth $1.4 billion in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of
Bitcoin. So even if you bought the company itself that holds the asset, the company on the sheet will have $1.4 billion.
Yeah.
Essentially. So it'll be like, how much are we paying?
True that. So, yeah, that was just a quick retouch on last week's episode. Just to make sure you guys have the most up-to-date information and are not misinformed. But moving on, we got stuff this week. But besides the fact that Bitcoin crashed like crazy, I wouldn't say a lot of has happened.
I wouldn't say crash.
Okay, well.
Come on. Be honest. Is this a crash?
I mean... You showed me that candle, and that candle looked pretty.
That's the 1 hour chart.
I know. There's a bunch of candles within.
I mean, it doesn't look any better on the 4 hour chart either, or on the 8 hour. But still.
True. It doesn't look as bad, but still. Definitely a correction. Definitely a correction in the Bitcoin's price.
People are saying it's not a correction. They're saying this is a correction for ants.
This is an ants correction?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Let's look it up. Let's look at the sentiment. What's the fear and greed index saying right now?
That's a good sentiment. Noted. At the time of recording, we are currently at block 837,404. To reach the halving, we need to be at block 840,000.
We're currently still sitting in extreme greed.
Oh, okay. There's no fear.
79. Last week we were at 83. There is zero fear.
There's zero fear in this market. I just saw somewhere where this dude, some convicted felon. I don't know his name. He was a businessman, convicted felon. I'm assuming for business. I didn't really look into it too much because he was just saying, "Oh, a 75% chance that Bitcoin reaches $1 million by end of year." It's one of those like insane like marks. And I was like, wow, it gives him plenty of leeway to be wrong because 75% chance. But then that's also a huge, huge price prediction. But yeah, so which just proves to the fact that there is a lot of greed on the market right now.
Yeah. The market still hasn't flinched too much.
There are outflows on the ETFs, though.
Yes,
as one would expect.
That's definitely a factor. On Monday, there was 302 million. Well, 302.9 million of outflows, and there was 217 million in inflows. So there was like 85 million in outflows relative, net outflows. So it was negative for the
for the Monday.
Which I mean, until, as we all know, GBTC stops selling, or that selling pressure goes away, which it probably won't for a while. It really won't stabilize.
It won't, yeah.
Because even and at the rate the ETFs are buying, it's still, it'll be fine. One point or another, it'll balance out, but it'll just take a while.
Yeah, the ETFs are still buying way more.
Because I have a chart here. So, March roundup, Bitcoin purchased by ETFs, 66,108.
66,108?
No, 66,008, my apologies.
66,008.
Yeah. 66,008.
Uh-huh.
You said six.
66. Oh, okay. Yesterday?
March.
March.
And miners only produced 28,513.
Yep.
So I mean, one way or another,
they won't produce that much this month.
Now, by 420, it's getting cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
So just mind you, miners are producing that much. So if anything, the ETF's outflow for those who are trying to buy is their last chance to buy before they balance out.
Yeah, before supply gets really dried up. And it's going to be much harder to...
I wouldn't even say dried up. If you really think about it, the ETFs, all they're doing is capital rotation for the most part.
Capital rotation.
Yeah.
I like that word. It's nice. But yeah.
For the most part, all they're doing is going from GBTC to the others. For the most, like,
yeah, that's the majority of
what's except going for on. The very few, like those very few days that it's negative, which are slim for the most part.
Yeah.
They're just switching from one to the other because of the rate that GBT is paying for.
Yeah. Their fees are too high
compared to the rest.
So, and then all of them are way too high compared to anyone that holds Bitcoin physically.
We're not comparing the two. They're different.
I know.
We know this.
I just want to touch that
real again. Quick. We're not comparing the two. They're different.
True.
Yeah. Yes, everyone. You should hold your own Bitcoin if you can. For those who can't and you want to just hedge against inflation, Bitcoin's a good bet.
Yeah. So capital rotation, as in like they're just moving it from GBTC to
all for the most part, a lot of that's most likely what's going on, moving one to the other.
With still like a lot of people buying up some Bitcoin over the counter, is it all? So what's going in for what's going out of GBTC is funding all of what's going in to.
I'm saying the majority.
The majority, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can't say the exact number.
Some of it's still coming in from. Other,
of course, from new people buying and whatever. Yeah. Of course, 100%. I'm just saying the majority, I would say, is capital rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Not just people taking. I'm just saying those who still want to hold it long term are just moving it out to not pay that fee. Maybe not everyone, because again, it is a capital gains, a taxable event cost for rotating your capital.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that hit.
That's crazy. You get hit with capital gains tax for moving.
For reinvest, yeah. It's BS.
Yeah, kinda.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why it's you can't say 100%. It's only capital rotation, just because not everyone's gonna want to take that capital.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe those that do though, look at it long term and be like, it's gonna cost me more in the long run, paying these fees than it would to just transfer it over to one that's cheaper.
Yep. Yeah, if they're gonna hold it for
or buy their own Bitcoin.
Yeah, if they're gonna hold it for a significant amount of time. Then it'll be, oh wait, if I just pay the taxes now, then I save money because the rate that they're being charged is high enough where the amount of time that they're going to be holding it for is just
makes sense.
Yeah,
because they're charging a percent and some, while everyone's charging a quarter of a percent.
Quarter
for the most part. For the most part. So it's a lot of just moving funds, and of course, and we haven't seen that real like large bulk of new money coming, in my opinion. Into the ETFs.
Yeah. Like new people who are wanting to invest into.
Because for the most part, I think I saw an article or saw a post that kind of explained that there's a 90 day period where issuers, like financial advisors, take to really learn the asset class and like to be able to present it to people that they're going to offer it to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 90 day period where they learn the asset, they understand the fundamentals and everything else and how to properly offer it to their clients.
I see.
So we're coming to the end of that pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, these asset managers and advisors can now offer to their clients in a way where it makes sense, show them the benefits, and then go from there.
Those are the ones that hopped on the bull train as soon as they got the news that the ETF got approved.
Yeah.
And there's still going to be a lot of skeptics out there that are like, oh, wait, let's give some time. And probably just now started studying the asset itself.
Yeah.
So they're going to wait another, like, let's say 60 days, give or take. So we're going to get even more financial advisors as time progresses selling their clients Bitcoin.
Yeah, pretty much. And also on top of that, it would also be all those other institutions that don't want to offer it to their clients. They're either going to have to offer it or they're going to lose their clients.
Yeah, because if they're not providing them a product or service.
Because now it's, yeah.
That other people are, then well, I'm going to take my money somewhere else then.
Not even that. It would look upon the person that the institution is not offering it in a way of like, you're not going to offer, their clients would be like, you're not offering me the one asset that's making 200% in a year, every 4 years, mm-hmm. consistently at this point. Like I said, 200% every year, just to, you know, because it's just always has improved in price over a 4 year time horizon. So just they're going to be like, you're not doing a, what's the word? Fiduciary duty to mm-hmm. a degree in the sense of you're not offering me the best product right yeah. now. Mm-hmm. They'll just be like, you're not
with it. Your company is stagnating. It's staying behind. It's not choosing to innovate and use this new and improved asset class.
Yeah. Also, mind you, also institutions are going to start buying these ETFs and offering it 100%. In other like 100% funds that they create. Mm-hmm. We're going to add 1% of all total funds to Bitcoin, mm-hmm. the Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah, reallocate some of their current funds to hold some Bitcoin. And that's where it gets really spicy.
Yeah.
Because that's where the big money comes in.
Bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Much bigger.
Yeah. So while we're already on Bitcoin and this, the United States government moved their Bitcoin onto Coinbase.
Yep. The Department of Justice specifically.
Well, it's seized.
Yeah.
It's seized Bitcoin.
Yeah, so
From Silk Road,
the infamous Silk Road. Yeah, they sent out a small test Bitcoin Satoshi's 0.001 Bitcoin to a known Coinbase wallet, and then following that transaction, they sent out 30,000 Bitcoin.
Oh, to make sure that it was the correct wallet.
To make sure that the fund was going to be.
Oh, kind of like how we all do before we send anything, like send a small portion of money. Yeah. Is that good over there? Good. Yeah, all right.
Except this was a lot more money. So it was specifically 30,174 Bitcoin that was sent. That's a metric boatload of Bitcoin, guys.
$2 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Current price. Current price. Yeah. So yeah, I would send out some sats first to make sure it gets received. And as William said, that Bitcoin was seized from the Silk Road incident. Specifically from, what's his name? James Zhang. He was convicted in 2022 for stealing that Bitcoin from Silk Road. So he wasn't even the guy who
founded Silk Road?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the whole situation, I'll be very honest.
Yeah, Silk Road was...
I know what it was. It was a website where you can sell anything and everything.
Yeah.
Completely just Bitcoin.
Yeah, you could... The main form of payment on that website was Bitcoin. It was made by Ross Ulbricht. You could... Illicit goods, mostly, as well as being conducted, which is why he got arrested and charged. But illicit goods, including drugs, weapons, and stolen credit card information. And he got arrested in 2013, and he is sentenced with 2 life sentences, 0 room for probation.
Yeah,
life without parole.
Yeah, that's the right word.
Mind you, that man did not sell anything.
He just provided a platform. Illegal.
He just made a platform, an open source platform that anybody can have access to, and it happened to be where a lot of people were selling
illicit goods. Substance.
Mm-hmm. Goods. So then he got arrested for other people's actions, even though his intent was never for that.
Well, what's Vivek said, he would pardon
Ross.
Julian Assange, and he said someone else. Oh, I think he said someone else. I don't think it was Snowden. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, that'd be kind of.
But he said someone else that he would pardon, because I forgot exactly where I was, but I saw that tweet he posted.
Yeah, Snowden would be a little controversial for of a person to pardon.
Yeah, 100%. But he just said he would pardon them. Which, since we're already on the topic, and also we didn't touch up based on if this 30,000 Bitcoin hits like the market, that's a metric crap ton of Bitcoin.
That's a whole lot of Bitcoin.
That's a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't know how like the news kind of like rolled out with it, but that might give some reason why Bitcoin hasn't really recovered its price today, seeing how Coinbase is the main provider for the ETFs.
Yeah.
Main or sole provider? Sole provider.
For all of them? No. I'm not sure. Okay. I can't say. I'm not
main 100%. Provider. Yeah, Coinbase is the main provider.
For sure, main.
So that's a lot of Bitcoin that Coinbase just got.
Where it's holding now at this point. Waiting to be sold.
Because
they haven't sold it.
Yeah.
So it's just waiting to be sold, pretty much.
I mean, with all this liquidity now, it's like, oh, well, maybe.
It'll get bought up fast enough, which I just don't think they'll be able to sell it all at once.
No, definitely not. It's $2 billion.
It's too much money. Well, the ETFs do. They sell whatever the amount is, either way. It just gets finalized at the end of the day. But yeah, just to make it clear, it's a boatload of Bitcoin that would be in the market. We'll definitely dump the price a bit. So like, be wary in the market right now. Bitcoin is not, and like we're currently sitting on some support, very thin line of support.
Thin line of support.
A hair, like.
Yeah. And now, Coinbase has
more Bitcoin so
they could afford to sell.
So don't. 20% might be possible at this point if that Bitcoin hit the market fast enough. From where we are right now, of course.
Yeah, and then the fear and greed index might be a little too greedy, in my opinion.
Also, before we move on to the rest, just to put in context, all RSIs on all coins.
Context.
What?
You said contacts.
I said contacts?
The context?
Oh, my fault. I meant context.
Context.
Before we move on to the next. Tad context, I said? Oh, whatever. Tad. All RSIs on smaller time frames, up the only time frames, weekly, daily, and monthly, pretty much, are at the bottom.
Okay.
So anything else, is except the 1 hour, that one moves on time. But everything else is at the bottom pretty for most tokens.
Oh, fun. Interesting stuff.
So we could see a recovery short term and a pump up, well, and then a pump down long term. So we may be in a range for quite a while.
You're moving a little sideways for some
very time. Sideways.
Maybe until the Bitcoin halving.
Which is typical because we're still in that zone.
Yep.
Yeah, but I just wanted to add that. All right, we can move on.
Now we can move on.
Oh, man.
Is there something specific that you wanted to move on to?
We were talking about something specific.
Yeah.
Oh, you talked about Silk Road.
Yeah, about Silk Road. Yeah. So the guy that they confiscated the Bitcoin from, James Zhang, he had originally stolen 50,000 Bitcoin.
Jesus.
Yeah, in 2012. And back in January, February, March. In March last year, the DOJ had sold about like 120 some million dollars worth of that Bitcoin.
So this is the other portion.
Yeah, this is pretty much the other portion of it that hadn't been sold.
Gotcha.
So the U.S. Department of Justice, they seen some pretty good returns because the price of Bitcoin from now compared to what it was last year.
Oh no, if it was
huge difference.
Yeah, day and night difference.
I mean, that kind of speaks as to why it's a good idea for governments to hold some Bitcoin, because long-term investors in Bitcoin end up in the green.
Yeah, for the most part.
They'll be like, you know what? We made a lot of money off this Bitcoin stuff. I mean, granted, they made 100% money seeing how this is a seized asset. But that's a different story. Yeah. Well, my bad. It was a $215 million, not $125. $215 million was sold.
That's fine. Does it say how much Bitcoin it was?
Yeah, roughly 9,861 Bitcoin.
Okay, so you still have another like 10 grand.
Yeah,
another 10,000 Bitcoin.
Something like grand. Yeah, give or take.
Okay, fair amount of Bitcoin left, just in case they're trying to see if it goes to 100K.
Yeah, they still got about 10K left. Right. I wonder what's their plans with that.
Yeah, let's see what happens with that. So our favorite guy, because we're on topic of government and DOJ, Sammy Boy was sentenced
Oh, the bank man?
The bank man. The fried. The freed.
The fried bank man?
The fried bank man. 25 years.
25 years in prison with opportunity for parole.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't read that part.
Given good behavior.
Okay. I mean, he won't be able to not behave good. He won't behave bad for sure.
Yeah, I mean, unless someone tries to take some shivs to him and then he's trying to defend himself. I'm not saying I wish this on him. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying this is life in prison and a lot of things can happen. Because if you start, someone attacks you and you fight back, like you're still not good behavior.
Yeah, but he's not going to get that prison. He's going to get the nice one.
Yeah, of course. Up in New York.
He's going to get the nice prison either. Like, prison either way, but the nicer one.
Up in New York City. Now, the question is, will he serve those 25 years?
No, if he has a chance to get out with for good behavior, he'll probably serve a little less than that.
Did you hear the BS that he said?
What BS did he say?
He's like, oh, I didn't intend to do anything like this. I didn't see anything that I was doing as illegal. All BS, because, like, if you listen to the way that he would speak about the whole situation, like, it reeked of it.
Yeah.
The guy was clearly, like, just trying to sway his words.
But maybe in his own mind, he didn't think it was illegal. Maybe he knew it was wrong, but not illegal.
No shot, William.
I don't fucking
know. No shot. You're just trying to defend him.
I'm not.
I mean, you're playing devil's advocate. It's fine.
I'm not trying to defend him, though. I'm not saying what he did is right. I'm just saying there isn't. I can't say I can't say if he knew it was 100% illegal or not. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things
this is a gray area.
Not even gray. He can probably think it's wrong, but if he doesn't ask, is this illegal? He doesn't know it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He should assume it's illegal.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, I might have a question. Do you know it's illegal to not report that you hold over $75,000 in foreign assets?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Do you know if you don't report that you hold, say, $75,000 worth of foreign assets, it's a $10,000 fine? And that if you don't report it within the first 6 months, it's a $50,000 add-on?
Oh. So.
And for every 6 months you fail to do this,
it's another $50,000.
I'm not saying it's, like, completely, like, not possible. I'm just saying, like, he could have not known. He's still a dumbass for doing it.
Yeah.
I'm also assuming he does. This is a multi-billion-dollar company with multiple lawyers.
A bunch.
Someone should say something.
Yeah, 100%.
Someone had to know this is wrong. I'm just saying, maybe he actually didn't know like the first time. He was like, "Can these funds be moved?" Mm-hmm. Oh, click the button. And then it's like, oh, lawyer comes in, and goes, "You can't do that. That's illegal."
He's like, "Well, we already did it, so
we'll just do some more." We'll just completely, guys. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying maybe he actually didn't know the first click.
The first. Okay, maybe we could pardon the first click, but all subsequent
orders, terrible actions.
Yeah, 100%.
But no, bro. Do you think he deserved more?
Yes. Well, I can also say that Ross, the guy who created Silk Road, does not deserve two life sentences.
He probably deserves 25.
Yeah, I feel like it should probably be inverted.
Fair enough.
Because Sam actively stole from people.
Yes.
Ross did not. Ross just provided a platform and people abused it.
100%.
Sam created this platform.
Promise it wouldn't be... I take it back. He knew it was illegal because he said customer funds won't be used for other things. I take it back. He fucking knew.
Of course he knew.
Fucking knew.
Of course he knew, man. He literally said it. He's like, oh, we won't use your funds.
He fucking knew.
For him.
Scumbag.
Scumbag. Slime. Slime.
But continue.
So, yeah. So 25 without chance of parole.
Or like getting out for good behavior.
Yeah.
You'll take it.
I'd take that. That's, to me, seems fair. Because this man ruined a bunch of lives. Thankfully, not you and me. But
I won't say that he...
He absolutely did.
They made back their money. Like, their initial investment, probably.
The people who held direct with FTX, I guess. But this had a huge
effect
wave
on the entire market.
Exactly.
As a whole.
100%. So, like, the fact that it's kind of hard to track exactly how many people were affected by this, but a whole lot of people were affected by it.
I'm with you on that end.
So, to say, oh, yeah, good behavior, yeah, he's behaving good, he could get out of prison. Like,
no, I'm with that.
Like, that's a little lenient.
100%.
I don't want to be, like, oh, over.
You just say deserves two life sentences.
I'm saying that's just to defend Ross.
Fair enough.
Like, I feel like Ross, they really overkilled it with that.
100%.
To add, like, it's like,
go for it.
If you're gonna punish someone, like, typically it's, at least to a degree, it's like, oh, the punishment is there to disincentivize people from committing the crime. Therefore, if the punishment is not severe, then that means the next person who does it, Sam Bankman-Fried only got 25 years with chance of parole. You know what? I could take that risk. Versus if it's something severe, then it might lower the chance of someone.
Well, he also didn't keep any of the assets that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Also, well, that we know of, he hasn't, because they found
the remaining amount. Yeah, they pretty much.
But not just that. He won't be able to create an exchange again.
No, he won't be able to create. And
he won't be able to work in Wall Street.
That guy's
The most he will do is be able to maybe trade crypto online.
He's nuclear waste. He's 100% nuclear waste.
But like, he won't be good for it. Like, he could probably, most he'll do is like a consulting business.
Yeah.
That's about it. But he won't be able to create a trading firm or anything. Because what, how old is he? 30? Assume he's 30. He'll be out, assume at the max, 56, right? Mm-hmm. With 31, 32, no, 56, 57.
Yeah, 31, 30, yeah.
Bessie guy has a chance to make up for it at his later end.
Yeah. Assuming he does. He lives out his full sentence.
Yes. And I do think people would still be disincentivized to do so.
Obviously. Because
25 years at the max.
That's
maybe 10 at the minimum.
That's a significant portion. That's why I'm saying, like, 25 years is, I think it's a sizable sentence. It's just the chance of parole. It's like, okay, well, if he gets out in 10, that's even less. It's like, if I do something not as big, maybe 8. Maybe they only sentence me to 10 years and with chance of parole.
At work, we always say, you want to commit crimes, make sure you create very large white-collar crimes.
Why?
You get out in 25 or less.
Yeah. No. The white-collar crimes are definitely the best crimes to commit.
And you might be able to hide some of the money away.
We're not condoning any.
First of all, let's be clear here. We're not saying you should commit any crimes. Crimes are bad. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't do any things. We're just putting, if you're going to do one or the other, might as well go big or go home.
Yeah.
Also, don't do it.
Yeah.
Please be safe. Be smart, stay in school if you want, or drop out. That's up to you now.
Yeah. Yeah. White collar crime has definitely always been one of the types of crimes that serves the least severe sentences.
And affect a lot.
Oh, and it affects the most amount of people. Significant changes.
Yeah, it affects pretty harsh.
And like, we're not just talking about like strictly like financial crimes either. Like, white collar is pretty broad. It's actually more broad than one would think. Like disposing of toxic waste in certain areas that aren't allowed.
Also true. I was talking about mainly financial, but yes,
that's also
white collar crime.
It's like, oh, you didn't properly dispose of your waste. That happened with some school up north. They dumped toxic waste into this landfill that eventually ended up becoming a school.
What?
And then kids there were dying and being born with deformities. Yeah, they found out like 10 years after, and then the company got it. Yeah. So, yeah, white collar crimes is definitely very wide and vast, and always affect the most amount of people and serve out the least severe sentences. So, yeah, go big or go home. Don't do that, though.
Okay, good stuff. Don't do crimes. I wish it would have gone at least 25 flat or a little more. If you're going to give him parole, 30 or 35,
yeah, that's what I'm, yeah,
and give him, a chance of parole then.
Yeah. If not, make it like, okay, you really got to behave good, because if not, you're going to.
And from what I know, if CZ hasn't received anything yet.
No, nothing.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
I hope he makes it out.
CZ. He's like launching this whole education program.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
I haven't heard more about it, but he's launching a crypto-based education platform.
Yeah, before he goes to jail.
Dude. Homie's like, I'm bored. Let me do something else.
Mm-hmm. You got any pressing topics that you want to discuss? Anything fun, exciting?
You know what base is? I assume you know what base is.
It's like when you're like,
what? No, the blockchain.
I know what it was.
God dang it.
Speaking of it, if you made it this far, please drop a like, comment, share. follow. Thank you, guys. Everyone was like, what's that? That was super unprompted.
Jesus. I wasn't ready for that. So I looked. I'm obviously aware of what Base is. And from the last couple of, you know, meme coins have been blowing up on Solana, going mad crazy. Solana, it's kind of the reason why people, the price of Solana is being pumped up so much, is because they're taking, they have to buy Sol, get on there, then trade it, or vice versa, take profits from their meme coins, put it into Sol, right? So now the same thing is happening on Base. Mm-hmm. They're taking whatever token, converting it in Base to then buy meme coins on Base. So we're saying the next like uptrend, like since Base has no token as of yet, and I don't think I think Coinbase said they're not going to release one. The TV, just like the on user usage of Base, is basically competing with Sol at this point.
Yeah,
because they're all shifting.
Yeah, they're moving from. Well, what I saw was like, we're completely disregarding the typical like funnel of like liquidity going from like, oh, Bitcoin's pumping to ETH and Sol's pumping.
Well, we'll touch that right now. Okay. I just wanted to touch that because I was going to move on to that.
Okay, I see.
To that narrative.
So everyone's moving from Solana to Base now?
Pretty much. So the Base chain to use their meme tokens as they're starting to explode.
Okay. Yeah, they're still rumbling in the mud over there.
Mind you, I don't make money on meme coins. I only lose it. I've traded three of them. I've only lost, except for Whiff.
We only take losses.
I have 25 Whiff. That's the only thing green right now. And it might be going red soon. That's all I got. Everything else, Myra lost money. Base, I bought a meme coin on Sol called Base Chain. It broke. I bought it at $50. I only bought $50 of it. It went from 50 to 115 because it showed on my Solana wallet. It went negative $115. And I still had $50 worth of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was up like that. I didn't see it. Then I went back another day, like later that day. It was at 20.
Yeah. You're
like, it currently sits at $2.
It's gone. Wow.
Gone completely. I'm not good at meme coins.
Just hold that bag.
I'm going to stick with what I'm good at.
Yeah.
Coins with any, with some real value.
Just sell it. Sell it in the future when it does, if it does. Just you never. Okay, so here's one thing. Do not sell your meme coins for a loss. This is not financial advice.
And avoid meme coins.
Avoid meme coins at all
costs. Unless you're good at it. Some people are good at it.
Yeah, some people say, oh, this is a time to make money because.
No.
It's called gambling, guys.
No. Some people are good at it. It's not anymore, though.
It's a game.
It's not a gamble. It's a game. It's not. It's culture.
It is culture.
It's meme coin culture.
But you gotta consume copious amounts of.
Degeneracy
exactly. On Twitter.
It's for them.
You gotta really get deep into the vines in Twitter. Like, you gotta find the right spaces, and you gotta hop on all the spaces. The Twitter spaces, that's where they're at.
Dude, whatever. But they're transferring from that,
from Sol
to Base. To Base. Want to hear a crazy one?
Did you invest in anything in Base?
No, it's listen. It's
like, I not yet.
So Rand from Banter Bubbles put a token to invest in Base. It's not to invest in, to buy, to have fun with, do your own research, of course. It's a total meme coin. It's a Pepe meme coin on Base, but it's not even on Base. It's on a Base layer 2, so it's an L3.
Okay. That's hilarious.
So essentially, you take ETH, move it to bridge it to Base, right? Then from Base, you bridge it, you convert it basically to another token called DGEN, which is a L2, which is technically an L3 on Base.
Yeah.
To then buy DePe, because it's DEPE, which is essentially Pepe on DGEN.
DGEN Pepe.
Essentially. It has like. Last time I heard about it, it had like a $5 million market cap.
Okay.
So like extremely volatile.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That's funny.
Yeah, because that's $5 million. It's literally, in the grand scheme of things, nothing.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
But like that's how it's gone into meme coins. So on Banter Bubbles, he talked about today how cat tokens, cat meme coins,
is what calls the top.
Cat meme coins just ran this weekend.
They did.
And just blew up. And then we have on Monday a correction like this. Between Monday and Tuesday.
Cat meme token.
And they're saying what happened last time around was the exact same thing. Like the cat meme coin started to run and then market went down.
Market crashes. Yeah, I was seeing like cats all over social media. I was like,
I had one, bro. One was like $300. I was so happy. Mm-hmm. I got that from the airdrop, but I was just like, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. It's a dog, so.
It's a cat.
Oh, when is
when's a cat?
Oh, when is a cat?
When is a cat?
No, bad. I was thinking about Whiff.
Yeah, that's a dog.
That's a dog.
My cat with hat has not ran.
Yeah,
the one I showed you has 2.8 million. Yeah. No, hasn't moved.
No,
we're movement. We're still there, though.
That's what happens with the meme coins, guys. Now you know. Cats call the top.
Funny enough. But meme coins are fun. It's gambling, truly. It's culture to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Be safe.
It's like not missing out on the GameStop run-up.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, I had to mention it.
Now let's go back to that funnel thing we talked about.
Uh-huh, of course. Yeah,
I'll let you go.
Typically what happens is that liquidity starts to build up in Bitcoin because, like, people have been in it for a while. It's a
price. Take profits. Pump.
Yeah, they take their profits. But they're still in crypto. They have a lot of this money now. So they're like, okay, well, let me just reinvest into some more crypto. It typically goes down, like, the cycle where it goes from Bitcoin to, like, other main chains, like Solana, Ethereum, Chainlink.
I wouldn't even say that. Polygon. I would say rotate strictly Bitcoin ETH first.
Yeah.
And then it goes to like the smaller L.
Yeah, ETH is definitely the biggest. ETH is definitely the biggest one of this. But then it just kind of like filters its way down. It trickles down into from like Bitcoin to ETH, other main chains, other big chains.
All the way down to degeneracy.
All the way down until it finally hits the meme coins. And the meme coins were the ones that called the top last cycle.
It's like, yep, respectfully.
It's like, well, all these meme coins are booming.
And there weren't as many as there are now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now there's way more. A significant amount more. Back then, like, it was kind of like the ICOs were the meme coins before.
Yes.
Where there was a bunch of ICOs. I mean, it was like, 2017? Where it's like, these tokens are going to have, or not even 2017, 2019. Where these tokens have utility, but then the majority of them just ended up dying off. That called the top. Now it's, then it was meme coins, and now it's specifically cat meme tokens, apparently.
No, cat meme tokens ran last time, too.
No, they ran, yeah. But, like, I feel like last cycle was kind of, like, more so, like, just the whole subcategory of meme tokens is what we're called the top.
Yeah, but let's be clear. I think it was a very small subcategory.
Yeah.
Like, the original meme coin is Doge.
Yeah, Doge. Doge
is number one. Followed by basically Shiba at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
Then followed by whatever came after.
Loki.
Yeah. Floki.
Floki.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now the meme coins go from Pepe, Brett, Roost, Andy, Deepe.
I mean, Pepe was also a big one last cycle.
But it wasn't. Yes, Pepe was, but then.
It's just things. It's culture. It's culture. Culture literally just changes with the times. It's like whatever is affecting the news cycle. Whatever you see in social media, it's like, this is new. This is cool. So then people sweep it up and call it culture.
I think we're just the reason for the whole skip that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That you said, I think it's just skipping it because ETH is not.
Yeah, ETH
worth
it. ETH isn't pumping.
Not, I wouldn't even say pumping. I just mean ETH is not worth the prices it costs to transact on. Why would you create a meme coin on ETH to like gamble on if it takes you 100 to put 100 in?
Mm-hmm.
When you can do it on Sol for like a penny and three and like a penny for every transaction you did in total.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it on Base for essentially the fraction of a price.
Mm-hmm.
After the
compared to Ethereum,
compared to ETH itself, like meme coins don't make sense. There's a reason why right now, also.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
The NFTs on Solana are ripping, but ETH isn't.
Yeah, it's ETH layers twos that are going to try to save it because it's just way too expensive.
ETH itself is too expensive, even for those blue chips and NFTs. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
the price that you have to pay to use it is outrageous in comparison.
Ultrasound money. Their burn rate is ridiculously high.
What? Like ETH?
ETH.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the amount you got to spend in gas is just a lot. Was that me? Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good. Also, it's the ease of creating meme tokens. At this stage of the game, it's much easier than what it was originally.
Oh, for sure. For sure. More people are
so to it. More people are able to do it. So that's another thing, and that's why it's creating this whole spike that we're currently seeing, of course.
Yep. As and this is only going to get more proficient. Like, you're going to see even more of this as the technology starts to become easier to use. Who's this guy? Some executive from Mexi. We talked about him before. He actually went and gave support to, like, meme coins. He's like, this is super important. Okay. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't know who he is, but that's with a grain of salt.
Yeah, obviously.
Because
yeah.
He's going to list it. He wants to list it on the exchange.
Oh, I see. I'm trying to find his name.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. A lot of exchanges are actually listing meme coins, which before took much longer. Well, maybe not these more so non-US centralized exchanges would post them. But, again, some of these tokens are like, exchanges are like, oh, no. Let it when you launch it on ours, or like we'll allow you to launch mm-hmm. on the exchange itself.
Yeah. Also, whenever a token gets launched on an exchange, that's a big green flag for that specific token, because they just get access to all these new
users. Yeah, right after launch, a mm-hmm. token on an exchange goes parabolic.
Yeah, because other than that, you would have to interact with the wallet directly to get or with someone who has it on some other platform.
No, you literally have to go. You have to use a decentralized exchange ID to use it. If not, you have to go through loops and bounds.
You literally have to interact with a smart contract. Yeah, well, in this particular case, it's pre-sales. Where there's always send me some.
Those are ICOs for real.
Yeah, send me some Sol,
and we'll send you meme tokens mm-hmm. at one point when it drops.
Yep, I can't find his name. Sorry, guys.
That's fine.
But yeah, it's just a whole new form of trading. Like, people don't. This is new to the cycle.
To the cycle for sure. Mm-hmm. Here to stay for sure. What?
In terms of like culture, there is this new cultural movement that's being pushed out by large players in the crypto space. By large players, I mean companies. Nexo, Chainalysis, Polygon, Brave, and Nansen, amongst others, usually the ones that caught my eye, are all fighting, signing a petition now to get an official Bitcoin emoji. They launched a petition, and it has already accrued more than 10,000 signatures, and they're going to present this to the Unicode Consortium, which pretty much is a standardization of emojis across all platforms, so operating systems. The idea is to get like about 50,000 signatures.
I thought you were about to say dollars.
No, 50,000
signatures. Okay, that's it?
No, 50,000 signatures.
Okay.
To get an official Bitcoin emoji. Get it?
Where?
On like the emojis tab.
Oh, like on the actual tab.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, an actual emoji for
Bitcoin.
For Bitcoin. Yeah, where they quote, and I quote from like the petition, "Bitcoin is more than a mere digital asset. It's a symbol of freedom and universal reference for digital assets in everyday life."
That should be easy enough, though.
Yeah, it shouldn't be
50,000.
Yeah.
That's easy.
I mean, that's just what they're trying to get in terms of signatures. Yeah, I think amongst all those organizations alone, they should be able to get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bitcoin emoji would essentially just really bring Bitcoin to the forefront of everyone's face. Is like, okay, well, now there's an emoji for this. Like people are gonna start communicating with it, just sending it out. Just the picture alone is gonna be, or like when you're swiping and looking for the right emoji, you're gonna pass by. You're like, oh, there's Bitcoin. There's gonna be in everyone's
mind. Why are you making it bigger than what it is?
Wait a minute. I think it's actually.
You think
very,
it's huge?
I think it's. I wouldn't say it's huge.
You
but
just
I
would, made it seem huge.
I would say it's significant.
I don't know about that.
It will be on everybody's phone.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't think it's that big of a thing. I think the best advertising for Bitcoin is its price.
Oh, that's a whole nother story. Of course.
The emoji matters. But hey, man, it makes you happy.
Think like it's a culture thing, William. I think it's
Bitcoin
a
meme coins? That's the next step? Meme coins on Bitcoin? meme coins on Bitcoin?
Pretty sure that's already on its way.
For sure.
ERC-20. Someone's gonna start making it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I just thought that there were big players like Brave. Brave is a huge, huge web browser. Nansen, we had someone who worked for Nansen on this podcast earlier.
Yes,
and we talk about Chainalysis all the time. Literally one of the most in-depth blockchain analyzers reporter out there. So yeah, I think it's a pretty interesting.
If you think it's interesting and important, it is what it is, man. I'm with you.
And I got some local news, but I don't know if you want to stay on any crypto news before I move on to local.
Are you getting gummy?
Am I getting gummy? I believe I'm getting gummy. I hope I get gummy. If I'm doing this right, my Banter Bubbles says I'm getting 54,280 airdrops.
That's not the way that works.
It says there's literally a token. It says airdrop.
Yeah, I don't think that means the amount of tokens you're getting.
I don't know.
Did you see the we're talking about Banter Bubbles? They're dropping a token, a meme coin themselves called Gummy.
Called Gummy. The Gummy. Oh, hell.
It's your fun THC gummy is what they're calling it.
We don't have any gummy right now, but we might have some in the future. So, quick disclaimer.
Well, it's not out yet.
I know, I'm saying.
It drops halving day.
It drops halving day.
Which one is the halving day?
April 20th. April 20th. 420 this year. People, that just speaks to meme culture, William. That just speaks
straight into culture. Exactly. Have you seen the their website for
Gummy? No.
For Gummy?
I have not. I'm going
to pull it over. It's right fun. Now. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
It's a fun one.
Oh, the OG Gummy on Solana. That is an OG Gummy. Right. Yeah, it's a very nice page. I like it. It looks a little scrumptious. I think it's hilarious that they're dropping a gummy token on...
That wasn't planned at all, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So, did you... the reason I bring it up, because I wanted to show you the tokenomics.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, as of right now, it changes every now and then. 10% goes to setup and marketing. 30% is going to the airdrop. 60% going to fair launch. That's it.
Okay.
Zero going to founders and team.
Cool. That's very cool.
So that fear of dumping is not there as in other tokens that the team and founders typically hold.
Yeah,
a fair amount.
Mm-hmm. I mean, then again, that team is also completely doxxed.
Awesome.
Like
for the most part, the majority of their wallets and everything would be doxxed.
They're all doxxed. Yeah. But then again, it doesn't matter. Irrelevant. Because none of it's going to the founders. Very interesting.
There hasn't been more information. I am curious to see. Because there's a few ways to get the airdrop. It's one is Banter, signing up on Banter Bubbles, Sniper Club, whatever, their whole thing. I wanted to, they haven't brought it up, and I want to know how many will there be.
Oh yeah, I thought that's what you were gonna say when you said you were gonna get into the tokenomics.
I was hoping they might have been on here.
Yeah, but because I promise you, from my perspective, it looks like I'm getting 54,540.
Alex, if that's your perspective, you don't want to know mine.
Wait a minute, I root for you no matter what.
I was on. Okay, so you all know my number. if it's not like on a hard cap. 13,341,200 and some change.
And that's how you know William's always staring at prices. William is always looking at these prices, making sure his assets are on the right track.
Or just crying inside.
Or mostly crying inside, probably.
I can assure you, last night, I cried.
Yeah. William, don't worry. I cry all the time, too.
I woke up, because I have ever talked about in the podcast, I wake up in the middle of the night to check prices.
I'm pretty sure we have. Yeah.
I woke up last night. I saw prices. I'm like, we're dumping. Isn't that wonderful? Back to bed.
Yeah, William doesn't sleep. He just takes naps until he checks his price again.
Pretty much.
Get text messages from 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Whatever. So the airdrop details haven't come out yet.
Okay, cool.
But I just wanted to share that.
And the date is just a mere 18 days away. I mean, from now, from time of recording, guys.
Yeah.
Granted. Bitcoin halving, April
20th. So you brought up Bitcoin halving. We're going to see some sideways as typical because Bitcoin after halving always goes sideways. Mm-hmm. That's when... The alts run for the most part.
Oh yeah, when
Bitcoin moves sideways. In that time frame, Bitcoin goes sideways before it goes parabolic. It's when the alts really start going that next leg up.
Yep.
So, If you're not stacked up, you might want to stack up.
Little bags, little baggies. Not financial advice, guys. Not financial advice. This is a wild, wild west out here. We're not telling you which ones to get, but we do know that.
Well, we did share a list of things you should get.
Yeah, we did talk about that earlier. You should find one of our episodes earlier.
So what I was going to say is we'll probably see Bitcoin be ranging in the, if it doesn't break the 80s, if it doesn't, I mean, if it doesn't break 73 and go above that, we'll probably see a range between like 72, I would say, to like mid 60s for that time frame. That's all I wanted to say.
I see.
And then alts go up, 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 up.
Gonna be fine.
Yeah. Don't forget to take profits, guys, on your way up.
Don't forget to take profits. Well,
don't forget to take profits when you feel it's the right time to take profits. If you want to, of course, you don't want to sell some early positions now because you want to hold it for later on. Understandable. I haven't sold much either. And if I do so, I really just buy back into other things.
Big facts. Big facts.
Because everyone kind of feels that they know what's next.
Everyone does kind of feel like we know what's next.
Yeah. Okay. You got anything to add here?
Yeah, the local news that I was talking to you about earlier.
Okay.
You don't care about it? No, I won't bring it up then.
Do you care about it? So this is my thing. Do you want to talk about it because you care about it? You want to talk about it to fill in space?
No. We don't need to fill up any space.
You want to talk about it?
Kind of. I feel like it's kind of
okay, important. Let's talk about it.
I feel it's kind of important. So Florida is a very controversial state, as we know.
Of course we are.
Lots of things going on over here, but the Supreme Court of Florida recently just approved two new amendments that will be on the ballot for 2024. Amendment number 3 and amendment number 4. Why is this something I want to bring up? Because these are very noteworthy amendments in terms of what's going on and how it will shape the state, pretty much. Amendment number 4 has to do with the very controversial, very disliked actions of Ron DeSantis making abortions illegal, essentially, after 6 weeks.
Ron DeSanctimonious, like, who calls him that?
Ron DeSanctimonious.
There was someone calling him that. I forgot who it was. Someone
calls him that. So that's probably, like, one of the worst bills that he has brought up where he has received an immense amount of backlash.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, 6 weeks for abortions is absolutely ridiculous. That bill hasn't taken effect yet. It will be at the end of this month, beginning next month, where the 6 week ban is in effect. Right now it's 15 weeks.
Okay.
But essentially, amendment number 3 will, and it states, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health, as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. Essentially making it so that no law can be put in place so that abortions cannot be legal or made illegal before the end of the second trimester, about 24 weeks. So prolonging it to 24 weeks, which is what the initial Roe v. Wade bill pretty much stated.
Okay.
For this bill to pass, we need a 60% majority voting.
60%?
60%. That's pretty much how it is for bills.
Really?
My bad. Amendments, not bills. Amendments.
Okay, I didn't know that. It was 60%.
Yeah, amendments require 60% approval, voting in favor for it, so that it could be amended. Okay. So, if you care about this, I recommend going out to the voting polls and cast your ballot. Second amendment, which is actually not the second, it's the third amendment, that will be added to the Constitution of Florida if this passes, has to do with legalized marijuana for recreational use. Right, as of right now, marijuana is only legal in the state of Florida for medicinal use. If you so it states non-medicinal personal use of marijuana products and marijuana accessories by adults 21 or older, if approved also by 60%.
Okay.
So that particularly will take effect if it gets approved about 6 months after the election. And, well, this has been like a topic that's kind of been brought over.
Has it been brought up a few times?
Yeah. 2021 was the last time we voted on it.
And they voted no, right? Yeah.
The court just didn't even allow it to, okay, to go through. Because, so typically what happens is the bill gets, the amendment gets written, and then it gets presented to the court. And the court has to deem it as if it's not convoluted enough or it's misleading. Okay. Where they have to be like, oh, this seems like a good, easy to read amendment.
Straightforward.
Straightforward. Gotcha. Straightforward enough, at least.
And when it was first presented, it was...
It was not straightforward enough. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So right now, state of Florida only allows medicinal use marijuana, where you need to have a card for that. If this gets passed, no need for medical cards. Anybody who's 21 years or older, so you do need to be an adult.
Of drinking age.
Yeah, of drinking age. Did you know that they raised the smoking limit from 18 to 21?
Are they going to raise the limit we go to war to 21 as well?
I don't know about that.
So when are we an adult? At 18 or 21?
I think it should be 25 when your frontal lobe is completely developed.
That's what I'm saying. What are we doing here?
It's ridiculousness out here. But then again, people are going to do whatever the hell they want to do anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in terms of law, you're breaking rules. Mm-hmm. But you're not breaking rules going off to war and essentially could lead up to killing some. Well, defending your country. You can do that at 18. No one's arguing the fact that you should want to defend your country if needs be. That's not what I'm saying here. Uh-huh. But
like, you need to inscribe yourself to be enlisted if there is a call for.
Yeah.
But that's only if you, at least in the state of Florida, if you get your driver's license. When you get your driver's license is when you when you sign that off on that.
Yeah, yeah. At 18.
At 18. Yeah, correct. Okay. That's my 18.
Point. I will say, I will also assume that an 18-year-old at war will be doing whatever they want in the trenches. Either way.
100%.
But it's just kind of like, stop it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, those are two very, definitely very progressive amendments that are going to be passed.
I don't like that term. I don't think it needs to be called progressive.
It's just a word, William.
I know, but everyone calls it progressive. I think that's part of the issues we have. This one's progressive. This one's non-progressive.
More.
Maybe just common sense.
More. Let's say this. Freedom inducing.
Maybe just common sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not freedom. It's just common sense.
Well, these. Okay, so specifically with these two bills, they affect on what you can do within your body.
But it should be common sense. It should be pretty, like, hands down. Hey, you want to have an abortion at this time frame? Go right ahead. Mm-hmm. You want to get litty like a titty at the age of 21? Go right ahead.
That's on you.
I don't think it needs to be called progressive or freedom or the other person saying, oh, it's conservative. I think it just makes the most amount of sense.
Yeah.
Common sense.
Common sense.
Which is very uncommon, apparently, nowadays. Mm-hmm.
Common sense is lacking. It's always been lacking.
Also, it's just like, if everyone agrees you have the freedom to do these things, mm-hmm, then what's the issue here? We all live in a country who we are supposed to be as free as we can be, mm-hmm, to the degrees we're given, right? And unless you're killing people, right? And what are we doing? It should be, if it doesn't affect me, go right ahead.
Go right ahead, 100%, yeah. I feel you on that, William.
Are there limitations to our rules? Sure. We're not talking about the exceptions. We're talking about the general rule of thumb.
I feel that.
That's why I don't like the terms like, oh, we're progressive thinking. It's like, fair. No, it doesn't affect anything. Like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. That's what I just said it because I was like, that's kind of like.
So that's what everyone says.
That's kind of like what it falls under.
But why does it fall under that? Does it need to fall under that?
Well, it actually shouldn't because before the 70s, marijuana was actually legal. It wasn't until that whole hippie movement and the Vietnam War where.
But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Which we don't get into that.
It's a whole different story.
Just because I don't even know enough about it.
It's a whole different story. But pretty much these two amendments have to do with your own body. So
your own freedoms. Vote as you want.
Vote accordingly.
Do whatever floats your boat.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, I just thought those were pretty cool new things that we're going to be seeing on the Florida ballot in the future. So I wanted to mention it.
So last bet before we sign off. Bitcoin.
Last bet.
And we're not betting. Are we up or down next week when we come back?
From the current price?
Current price, 65, 3, 65,400.
We up, baby.
We're going to be up?
We up, baby.
If we're up again, I'm selling some stuff at that point in time, and I will buy back on Wednesday.
We up, baby.
I'll have the week after when we dump again at that point.
We'll see.
Well,
it's been a fun one, guys.
We'll bring more stuff for next week. Yeah.
Like,
subscribe,
follow,
hit the notification bell,
share, because sharing is caring, and we do care.
And we'll have some spicy stuff coming up.
Spicy.
One day.
William's dropping out an OnlyFans account. You said spicy, William.
I am gonna be. Yep, that's exactly what it is. We'll go with that.
I'm just kidding, guys.
It's been another week
of your favorite crypto podcast.
Sometimes Crypto.
The Unscripted
Crypto Podcast.
Hey-o.